Thank you.
You got everything you need. You got some water there.
Okay, great. So with all of this information, pretty overwhelming, what do we do with it? Things are happening fast. There's a gospel song from the late 80s. Listen to the engine, listen to the bell, as the last fire truck from hell goes rolling by. All good people are praying. It's the last temptation, the last account, the last time you might hear the Sermon on the Mount. The last radio is playing. Persecution is promised. I mentioned that when I was lost in the New Age, we were dealing with an oppression that we didn't know what to do with. Our New Age teachings were not giving us the answers. We were lost. And I found Johanna Michelson's book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, in the New Age healing section of a bookstore in Hermosa Beach, California. Somehow, I don't know if a believer put it there for someone like me. If the bookstore just placed it there because they thought it was a New Age book, God got it there somehow. And as I read that book I mentioned earlier, and as I was reading scripture about deception, our deception for the first time, about the reality of evil, a man came off the street, homeless, mentally ill guy, came back and started screaming at me. And was I going to buy that book? What are you doing with that book? The interesting thing is that if you really think about it, I was being persecuted before I was even a believer. So if I was being persecuted before I was a believer, you know, we're promised that we're getting persecution as believers. Persecution. The Bible actually says that we can learn from it. Isaiah 59:15. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself prey. Not P-R-A-Y, P-R-E-Y. So I was in the process of, and people will say, well, you know, what I took from that book that she had was the ability to call on the victory of Jesus on the cross of Calvary, and we were dealing with a presence. It was a combination of, I think, a demonic spirit and a certain man's out-of-body human spirit. And I wrote down what Johanna Michelson had written in her book, and the next day, in Joy's mom's backyard, this presence was hounding my wife in particular. And I said, don't be afraid, I want to try something that I learned. And reading from Johanna's book, I said, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you be gone. I forbid your presence here. I claim the blood of Jesus Christ, the victory of the cross of Calvary. Go to where Jesus would send you. And it was like, whoosh, it was like gone. And Joy said, it's gone. What was that? I said, I'm not exactly sure, but it has something to do with a victory that Jesus won, a literal victory on the cross of Calvary, and he defeated Satan. You know, we were going, Satan? There's really a Satan? And people will say, well, how could you do that as an unbeliever? Well, remember the Ethiopian eunuch was reading the book of Isaiah, and Philip was sent alongside the Ethiopian eunuch and explained the scriptures, and it says that he believed and he was baptized right there on the spot. I believe that Johanna Michelson, although she came to me in a book, the book of the Bible is what brings people to the Lord, and I was reading scripture from the Bible in her book, I believed Johanna Michelson. I believed at least enough that was literal, that I could command. It wasn't like in the name of Johanna Michelson's Jesus, like some magic like the Sons of Sceva. So I made myself pray by reading the Word of God. That man came in and started screaming at me. That was an attempt, obviously, to deflect me from reading what I was reading. Fortunately, I worked with the homeless. That was my job as a social worker, and really didn't take too much to get him out of there, just on a human level. How about Psalm 119:71? It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You know, for people this morning that said that they'd been reading Jesus' calling, in everything give thanks, it says in the Bible. And maybe it's good in a way. You can look at it that way, that you were reading that book and that you understand on a deeper level now what deception is. Heresies must come, and we all learn that it's so easy to get deceived. It's so easy to take that one small step off of the narrow path. It's a narrow way. It's not the broad way of oneness that the world wants you to take. It's a narrow way. We learned that the battle was not ours, but God's. 2 Chronicles 2:15, be not afraid nor dismayed, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You don't have to do anything except know that God is with you and call upon Him. I mentioned Isaiah 38:14. Lord, I am oppressed, undertake for me. That's what you're really doing when you call on the Lord. When there's a presence that is oppressive, Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have never, ever called upon the Lord in a situation like that where the presence didn't leave. Whether you know it or not, we're all hounded by spiritual presences now and then. It comes in various forms. It can be in the form of a family member who's hounding you about what you're doing. Or it can be a literal spirit. But we need to call on the Lord, and we don't have to sit there and endure it. I was talking to a man in Ottawa, Canada, just a couple of weeks ago. He said, well, I just kind of stay there, and I wait patiently, and I know that the Lord is with me. I said, yeah, you can do that, but you can also just rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. You don't have to sit there and deal with it. He said, well, that's a good idea. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. The devil was defeated on the cross of Calvary. He doesn't want you to remember that. He doesn't want you to call on that victory. He wants you to believe Oprah Winfrey's Jesus, the Jesus that we had in the New Age, that says that the journey to the cross is the last useless journey. No, you don't go around the cross, you go through the cross. So what are we to do in the midst of persecution? Well, where we used to live in Central California on the coast, very beautiful area, we would take a walk. Joe and I would take a walk, and there was this house that was right on the water, and out front it said Steadfast Point. Steadfast Point. And I thought, wow, what a neat name. You know, you have all these cute names that people have, you know, like, you know, Harbor's Rest and all these things like that. Steadfast Point. We're to be steadfast and unmovable. As the world goes forward, ever learning and never coming to a knowledge of the truth, heading towards this convergence, this oneness, we aren't going anywhere in this world. We're already there with the Lord. We're standing fast. We can press on to the higher calling of our Lord, but that's not progressing or evolving or moving forward. That's standing and knowing that we are growing closer in our relationship with Jesus, but it really has no bearing on any forward progress in the world. Steadfast is firm, fixed, settled, established, not changing. Rick Warren calls himself a change agent. What are we changing? Proverbs 24:21 says it really well. Meddle not with them that are into change. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not this new Jesus that's coming in, the new spirituality, the new age, with the change agents like Rick Warren and Leonard Sweet, others. And then Malachi 3:6, the Lord says, I change not. We have the same God. He's not somebody who's now like, oh, you know, well, yeah, that was good for that period of time. But now that we're in the postmodern age, spell postmodern age, new age, because that's really what it is. The postmodern age is just an attempt to cloak the new age and the new revelations, the new truths they're trying to bring in. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren and in the world. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What I'd like to do is to not go into more of the things that are wrong, but what do we do in the midst of it? What do we do in the midst of it? The cost. You don't hear too much about the cost of being a Christian. Luke 14:28, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? There's an awful lot of easy believism going on right now. I saw it this morning. I was watching Joel Osteen. It was just like rattling off, like, you know, Lord, I'd like you to come into my life. I'm a sinner. Welcome to the church. You're a believer. Bula, bula. You know, it's like you need to know what it is that you are repenting of, who it is that is saving you. And you need to know that when you become a Christian, you're walking into persecution one way or another. Expect persecution. Isaiah 59:15, what I mentioned before, yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself prey. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. John 15:20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Does he leave it at that? Does he just say, you're going to be persecuted? Sorry. No. He always gives us hope. He always gives us an underlining emphasis of what we are to do in the midst of whatever this particular, like in this case, persecution or affliction or tribulation. Matthew 5:10-12. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I guess when Paul and Silas put the psychic in Philippi out of business by casting the divining spirit out of her, she could no longer do her psychic readings because she didn't have the spirit of divination. She didn't have any gift. She had a spirit. Well, the people who were getting all the money from that activity weren't too happy. Paul and Silas were rounded up, beaten, thrown in the stocks in the Philippian jail. And what did they do in the midst of whatever pain they were feeling from the beating, the being in the stocks and being in prison? I mean, all they did was something that was good. They put a psychic out of business in the name of the Lord. They sang praises to God. Can we do that? Well, I think the Lord's telling us that when we're persecuted, whether it's now amongst friends, that you know, I'm really pleased to see a lot of young people here tonight. A lot of times when we speak, you know, the speakers will tell you it's mainly a lot of the older folks that have been around. You young people are going to, you take a lot of heat for being Christians in this world. I'm sure you do. Your friends give you a hard time. Oh, you know, you believe that Bible? You need to know that you're blessed when you're persecuted and that you're standing for the Lord. And that's something we all need to remember. Corrie ten Boom, who was a Dutch woman, her father was a pastor, during Nazi Germany, things were closing in. They were harboring Jews. Any day they could be caught. She told her father, I don't think I can handle a concentration camp. And he basically said, Corrie, right now, today, you probably couldn't. But when that day comes, if it does, the Lord will have you prepared. Part of what we're all doing here, what Charlie and the staff here are doing, preparing you, and in your reading the Word of God, you're preparing for the times that are coming. We're hitting some hard times. We're watching things. I mean, we cannot even come close to laying out the things that are going wrong in the church. It's just so prolific. It used to be in the old days. It was kind of like Hans Brinker and the Silver Skates, that story when I was a kid. There was a hole in the dike. You stuck your finger in it, and that stopped the problem. But then, you know, two or three holes, it gets a little bit more challenging. It used to be, you know, a heretical book would come in, and somebody like Dave Hunt or Carol with her Gods of the New Age DVD or others would expose it, and then it would be pushed back. Now it's like, today's Sunday, there's a lot of football games. It's like a blitz. It's like they're just stampeding. And, you know, it's almost like, you know, the old Sergeant Bilko show years ago when I was a kid. There was a mess sergeant named Rizik, and he always going, ooh, 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 ooh. And it's almost like, you know, look at that. Look what Carol just showed. Jesus calling. You know, it's like you can hardly keep track of it all. And if you start to try to describe it to somebody, they go, you're nuts. You know, it's like you're a conspiracy nut. You're seeing this stuff everywhere. People say, Warren, you see the New Age everywhere. And I go, yeah, I guess I do. Because it is everywhere. It comes in all sorts of different shades and colors. Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And we're told that our faith is negative? I mean, some Christians can be pretty mean-spirited when it comes to certain issues, but I mean, if we're doing what Jesus is teaching us and commanding us to do, I mean, it's a pretty amazing, you know, love your enemies, bless them which persecute you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you. 1 Corinthians 4:12, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, like Paul and Silas and all the other things that we read about. 2 Corinthians 12:10, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Well, how are we strong when we're weak? Because God will perfect his strength in our weakness when we call upon him. Psalm 119:161, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. The reason we stand in awe of God's word is because he describes everything that's going on today. We're grateful. My wife and I are grateful for the things that we saw and endured as we came into the faith. There was a lot of spiritual warfare. Because Johanna Michelson laid it out. If every one of you had encountered and dealt with what we dealt with, your faith would be probably even stronger, because when you see the power of the Lord in calling on his name and watching evil back off, it's an amazing thing. Sometimes we would rebuke, call upon the name of the Lord, and the spirit would leave for like 20 minutes, then it would come back again. I remember some of those early days, we would just kind of be doing this like during the night and learning more, reading the Bible and getting up to speed. We'd walk into town and it was like, wow, this is an amazing faith. We'd walk into churches and somebody would say, well, I remember one little old lady, she said, well, Mr. Smith, you know, are you saved? I said, yes, ma'am. How long have you been saved? About 30 days. How'd you come to the Lord? Well, there was this oppressive demonic spirits, and we called on the victory of the cross of Calvary. Mr. Smith, the donuts and the coffee are right over there. Mabel, can you take care of these nice young people? Yee. And, you know, we're brand new believers. We don't know much, but we realize the church doesn't seem to see what's going on. I went to a Bible study at Evangelical Free Church, and my friend Kent, who's here with his wife from San Antonio, I just mentioned kind of what we'd been through, and he kind of went, yeah, I understand. And I'm going, you do? I mean, it was really comforting to have somebody in the faith acknowledging that, yeah, we're in a battle. We're in warfare here. Expect tribulation. Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. John 16:33, in the world ye shall have tribulation. 1 Thessalonians 3:4, for verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation. Does he leave it at that? Does the Bible leave it at that? No. What's the response to tribulation? John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This world's not our home. We're doing the best we can with a lot of help from the Lord, but this world is not our home. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Romans 5:3-4, not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. 2 Corinthians 7:4, great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. It's almost like wow, this is what the Bible said would happen. The Word of God is amazing. It describes everything that's happening. It describes Jesus' calling. It describes people like Rick Warren, you know, the Laodicean, the people that are pushing for a new world view, the deception. It's all there. Wow. You stand in awe of God's Word. And we're being told that we need to kind of update the Bible with some new revelation, and we need Eugene Peterson to go to his Montana ranch and rewrite the Bible so we can all understand it. No. That's part of the deception, whether they realize it or not. That's not important. Do you think Rick Warren knows what he's doing? It doesn't matter. He's not doing what he needs to do. He's taking the church to a wrong place. And we're watching, you know, there's a scripture in, I think it's in Isaiah, and God says, behold, they gather together, but not by me. That's what we're watching out there. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? 3, expect affliction. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. 1 Thessalonians 3:3-4, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. When these things happen, you go, okay, that's what he told us would happen. You don't feel like, wow, why is this happening to me? I must be doing something wrong. We had people that literally told us that we were in sin if we were experiencing some kind of spiritual battle or spiritual warfare. And we knew that wasn't right, but it was confusing. We knew that we were new Christians and we were vulnerable and we had to get rid of our, you know, New Age books, occult books. We got rid of those. There were certain things you have to do, but something, this wasn't working. And I'll tell you one thing that was interesting. I was at the Christian bookstore and there was a book that really wasn't one of the regular books. And the author lived in San Jose, not too far from where we were living. And he was in the phone book. And I called him and I said, you know, you talk about spiritual warfare and things that are going on. We're being told that we're doing something wrong because we're experiencing spiritual warfare, but we don't really, you know, we're not perfect. We make mistakes, but we don't think that's the case. He said, let me ask you something. Have you been baptized? I said, yeah. He said, how were you baptized? And I said, well, sprinkling. He said, do you have a concordance? And I said, yeah. He said, read the concordance on baptism. Call me back in a week. I called him back in a week. I said, okay, I get it. We need to be baptized by immersion. He said, do you have a pastor there that you trust that could baptize you? And I said, not really. He said, well, you could pray about it. But he was a pastor. He was also an engineer, but he was a pastor also. He said, we'd be glad to do that if you would like. We went down. Joy and I were baptized. And probably 80% of the warfare backed off. Now, is there something magical about baptism? It's what the Lord was baptized. You know, for all righteousness to be fulfilled. It's just, there's something about it that's important. You're making a statement about your faith. And fortunately, we were led to somebody that didn't say, yeah, you know, we got to examine all your life here and see what sins you're into. He was able to nip that one at the bud. Mark 13:19, for in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. It's going to be great affliction, and there's going to be people that are going to be falling away. There are going to be people that are going to be angry at God because they're being afflicted or persecuted or things aren't going quite right. Scripture is telling us to be patient, to be hopeful, and to not get on each other's case because things aren't going right. Expect these things. The response to affliction. 2 Timothy 1:8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are in the process, folks, and especially I'm thinking the kids. I shouldn't say kids, young people. The world is trying to make you ashamed of being a Bible-believing Christian. You believe that literal Bible? Boy, you better believe I do. is stand on his truth. It's going to throw your friends into confusion because you're going to have a gritty kind of determination that they don't know what to do with. It says in Philippians 1, I think, not to be terrified of anything. And this is anathema to the enemy. It's like they can't break through. You don't succumb to the taunts or the jeers or whatever. 2 Timothy 4:5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. 2 Corinthians 4:16-17, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day for our light affliction. I'm pretty sure the Apostle Paul and Silas would say, well, you know, this is the light affliction that the Lord was talking about, as they'd been beaten, put in stocks, and locked in the jail. And then when they had their opportunity to escape, did they run out the door and go, I'm out of here? No. They stayed, and the jailer and his whole family were saved and, you know, baptized that day. Psalm 119:50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. When you're afflicted, you start to see, wow, the Word of God. I mean, when we were going through all this, it was like, wow, this is amazing. We would compare the Bible to the Course of Miracles, and the Course of Miracles fell flat every time. We were hardcore. You know, the day that I read that book, the next day when called upon the Lord, and we didn't get saved immediately. We were still like, well, we need to check this out and read the Course of Miracles and compare them, you know. And anybody that reads The Light That Was Dark, you know, my testimony, you know, I'm just kind of walking around behind my wife going, really, honey? And she says one day, I don't think the Jesus of A Course in Miracles is the real Jesus. I think we need to get out of it. And I'm going, really? Yeah. Well, let me study it out. So I got The Course in Miracles, and there was the denial of the cross. There was denial of sin, denial of just about everything. They don't call it the atonement in the New Age. They call it the at-one-ment. Same spelling, but it's at-one-ment. We're all in oneness. No, it's the atonement. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Psalm 119:71, it's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. 4, expect suffering. Philippians 1:29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. I've heard some very serious situations just in this church alone. People that are enduring, you know, some pretty heavy duty pain, suffering. And it is a difficult thing, but it's in some ways when we suffer, we just recognize, okay, this is the fellowship of suffering. And we pray for relief. And, you know, Paul prayed for relief when he had that thorn in the flesh. You know, he three times, you know, Lord, get this out of here. But what did he say? What did the Lord say? My grace is sufficient for you. He'll get us through. It doesn't mean he's going to make everything better instantly. 2 Corinthians 1:5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. The response to suffering, Romans 8:17-18, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. 1 Peter 2:20, all the way through 23, for what glory is it when you be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently, but if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. 1 Peter 4:13-14, but rejoice in so much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy. 1 Peter 4:14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of the glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. I remember watching Robert Schuller say, when you have the Lord, you're bubbly. And you feel really good, and you smile, and everybody sees this effervescent smile. And then I read some of the things when Paul says, you know, I was out at sea, I was hung in a basket. I was trying to imagine him walking along the road, bubbly and effervescing. I think the joy of the Lord is in his heart, but sometimes it's tough, and you reflect that. But there's a determination and a grit behind your countenance that people can sense, even if you're not smiling. I know one Christian that said, you know, I went almost a year without smiling. It was like, it was tough. But he didn't bend. He didn't waver. It just wasn't really easy to smile in the face of all of this stuff. 1 Peter 4:16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. 5, expect grief and sorrow. Ecclesiastes 1:18, this is very, very heavy scripture. Ecclesiastes 1:18, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. It's not laughter. It's not holy laughter. It's not Jesus calling, saying, you know, laugh at the future. It's sad what's going on. You know, we mourn. But blessed are those that mourn because they'll be comforted. Jeremiah wept at what he was seeing. He was all alone, but he was not alone because the Lord was with him. But in the world, he was very much alone. It's sad. The response to grief and sorrow. What I just mentioned, Matthew 5:14, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Your brokenness lets the Lord's light in. If we're all prideful and just totally all put together, there's not much room for the Lord to get in there. We should all be pretty brokenhearted at what's going on, and in our brokenheartedness, the Lord can work with us. There was a saying in the Course in Miracles that says, you teach what you want to learn. Everybody really liked that. And then as a new believer, I found out that that actually comes from Romans. So I just want to affirm, as I say these things to you, I'm trying to learn them myself. We're at a stage now where we've got to jump into another category, which is, okay, you know, if we faint in the day of adversity, our faith is small, says the Bible. We need to prepare ourselves and to stand firm and to kind of tighten everything up right now before it gets really bad, because things are going to wax worse and worse. The Bible tells us that. But then it affirms the value of the Word of God right after that. 6, expect temptations and trials. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptations also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Some of the things I heard today are pretty tough, and it's like, wow, okay, he's going to give me an escape, but I am really suffering a lot of pain. I don't know how to answer that except he's faithful and he will be with you, but there's not a promise that we won't continue to feel pain or to suffer certain things. The response to temptations and trials, James 1:2-3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Lead me not into temptation. Lord, help me. When we go into temptation, Lord, help get me out of here. Do what you can do, and then ask the Lord for what you can't, for help for what you can't do. This is a tough one. You don't hear this a lot at Saddleback or on the Hour of Power. By the way, the Hour of Power is still on the air. Do you know that? The Crystal Cathedral has been sold to the Catholic Church. Robert Schuller is no longer Pastor Robert Schuller at that cathedral. But down the street, the Catholic Church, in the trade, gave them a new church, and his grandson, Bobby Schuller, is now doing the Hour of Power. I saw it up in Canada a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, God loves you, and so do we. The same saying, same program marches on through time. But you don't hear this from too many pastors these days either. Expect hatred. Luke 21:17, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Matthew 24:9, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Well, how could that be? Everybody loves Jesus. Which Jesus? I'll tell you how I think we could be hated by all nations. If there's a worldwide peace plan, a la the New Age, a la Rick Warren's peace plan, and that peace plan is based on your affirming your own godliness and divinity, and you refuse to go along with it, and you're hindering the peace plan, you could be hated. Because the way that the New Age and the way that the world looks at humanity is that all of humanity is the body of God. Each person is a cell in that body. Each cell is responsible for performing its function, shall we say, in spiritual formation, its function in the body. If one of those cells refuses to believe in its own divinity, then what the New Age is saying is that it needs to be healed or eliminated. Anybody that got my book, False Christ Coming, it's all laid out. Not from New Age authors, but from the God and Christ they are channeling, the Antichrist spirit. It's all in place. You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one who died on the cross of Calvary for your sins. Not the Jesus of Jesus Calling, not the Jesus that Oprah talks about, not the New Age Jesus, not this new revelation, new truth Jesus that's being brought into the church. You hang on to the real Jesus and you will be hated not only to some degree now, but in the future, probably a lot more openly. So what's the response to hatred? When I was at Xavier Reese's church, I don't know if you know Xavier, he's a fiery pastor in Pasadena, Calvary Chapel pastor. Charlie knows him well. And I said, you know, are we supposed to like punch him in the nose? And I said, well, maybe Xavier would, because everybody kind of laughed, but obviously that's not what we do. Luke 6:22-23, blessed are ye when men shall hate you and when they shall separate you from their company. The New Age says that those who are into separation, not into oneness, but into separation, are the problem. And those that are into separation will be dealt with in the future, they say. Separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. What are we supposed to do? Feel bad, feel sorry for ourselves? Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Not the quantum leap, a leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. There's a line in a gospel song, and he says, your hatred throws them. Your lack of hating them back throws them. It's been a long conference. Number 8, expect to be called Beelzebub or Satan. That's a tough one. Matthew 10:25, Jesus says, it's enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Do you know what the Christ of the New Age says? The only thing satanic is to not believe in your own divinity. You have just been called Satan. Jesus just laid out what is going on today. That's described in False Christ Coming. The plan is in effect. Right after September 11th, New Agers showed up all over TV. Our way hasn't worked, as if they were Christians. Our way hasn't worked, American Christianity. And in some ways it hasn't, American Christianity. We need a new way. And Neil Donald Walsh, Conversations with God, number one book for 2.5 years, challenged every pastor, every rabbi, every faith to accept that we are all one. And not one of the men that were in the book that were included with Neil Donald Walsh, T.D. Jakes, Rick Warren, Billy Graham, Bruce Wilkinson, all these, they were all mixed in on a response to what happened in 9/11. No one addressed his challenge and said, you know what, Neil Donald Walsh, you're wrong. This has nothing to do with anything. We are not all one. It was just like, you know, we all need to band together. Well, on a human level, we do. On a spiritual level, we don't compromise. We don't start sacrificing our faith for world peace. Not if it means that we deny our Lord and deny the truth that he brought through himself. So the response to being called Satan or being, you know, the response to being called Beelzebub, Matthew 5:11-12, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. 1 Corinthians 4:12-14, and labor working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world. We are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. When these things happen, we don't get thrown. We go, okay, we were told this would happen. This is like insurance. This is like a protection that the Lord's putting around us. He said, behold, I've told you these things ahead of time so you won't be offended when they happen. The devil's doing everything he can to keep this out of the church, to keep the full counsel of these things that are all laid out in Scripture from being preached from the pulpits in our land. Fortunately, those that attend this church are getting the full counsel of God. And the pastors are willing to have some of us that have come out of the New Age or that can speak to these things to come in and to share our experiences. I think this is what the body's all about. We all have different roles, different functions. I've watched this church work magnificently as people, you know, Sean runs up here and helps Carol with her problems. And we have people that are just dutifully manning the book tables and just every little thing is in sync. Everybody has their role, their place. And everything's just as important as one another. 9, expect spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're dealing with spiritual wickedness in high places. We're dealing with people that are enacting the things that the spirit world is impressing upon them, but we're dealing in the spiritual realms. 1 Peter 5:8, your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Response to spiritual warfare, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Psalm 59:17, unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense. Ephesians 6:13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And then 1 Peter 5:8-9, again, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom you resist steadfast in the faith. Be sober, be vigilant. There's no holy laughter going on here. This is no joke. This is no laughing matter. We're not here to have fun, but the Lord gives us circumstances where we can have fun, but that's not our purpose here. Our purpose is to stand in his faith and to reflect that faith to those around us. 10, expect fiery trials. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. We're not talking about fire tunnels. We're not talking about walking on coals. Oprah ran across a bunch of hot coals, Tony Robbins style. I don't know, I'm not impressed. Fiery trials. Response to fiery trials. 1 Peter 1:7-8. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I mean, there's no promise that we're going to be delivered from these things. You know, it's maybe we are, maybe we aren't. But our faith isn't dependent upon getting what we want. We just stand. 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen, ye love. You don't need to have the presence of Jesus come and touch you on the shoulder and tell you, you know, that he thinks you're one of the most wonderful people in the world. That's a sign. That's what the spirit world does. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is a tough one. 11, expect the possibility of being killed for your faith. Matthew 24:9, then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. That can happen. What happened to most of the disciples? They were killed. John 16:2, they shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whoever killeth you will think he doeth God service. Well, the purpose-driven, I've heard stories in this congregation alone, the purpose-driven church split congregations. People were driven out of their churches, out of their, you know, they shall put you out of the synagogues. The time cometh that whosoever shall kill you will think he doeth God service. Well, if we have a peace plan where we need to recreate the future, according to them, do away with Armageddon as if we could, And we have to subscribe to the whole body of God, all of humanity, firing on all cells and all cylinders, and we refuse to do it. Well, one of the spokesmen for the New Age God, Neil Donald Walsh, says that, you know, if you have a cancer in the body, you need to cut it out. It's all there. And they'll use scriptures to do this and to make it look palatable. Hey, look, we God bless you guys. We know that you're firm in your faith, but you just don't get it. You're God and you're hurting humanity. We're not able to well, I'll give you an example. The Christmas tree at the White House at Christmas time. President comes out, throws the switch, the whole tree lights up. When I was a kid, if one bulb didn't work, it short-circuited the whole tree. That's the way they're going to see Christians who do not subscribe to their own divinity. Because what they're going to do is that humanity, as God, is going to co-create the future and bring in world peace and do away with Armageddon. That's why the fact that the term co-create, it's brought up in Jesus' calling, and it has no bearing there. It's part of the conditioning and the programming that's going on. But I just want to introduce the possibility that all this stuff is right there. It's in motion. I mentioned earlier today that Chuck Smith in 1976, in talking about Antichrist coming, he said the world's being conditioned for Antichrist. 1976, what, that's 24 and 30, 37 years ago. And we're watching it now. It's boom, boom, it's everywhere. It's, you can't, you know, it's like, you know, just it's like in the circus when the clowns start coming out of the car and they just keep coming and coming and coming. It's like, when are they going to stop? Where are they coming from? So what's the response that we're supposed to have about this possibility? Well, Corrie ten Boom's father told her that God will prepare you for that day. When it arrives, if it does, it may not for us, it may, you'll be prepared. God will prepare you. As it turned out, Corrie ten Boom went to a concentration camp and was miraculously, by mistake, released. And she carried her testimony into the church. And part of what she said is, we need to prepare people for persecution. This whole thing about just kind of like feeling good and experiencing all these things, having all these Christian gimmicks, we need to prepare people for persecution. People being persecuted all over the world. Right now, you can read the stories. I mean, there's been tremendous things that have happened. There's no reason to think that this couldn't happen. It's in place. Marianne Williamson, who introduced the Course in Miracles on Oprah Winfrey back in 1992, is running for Congress in her Santa Barbara district in California. And she's going to use her platform in running for office to introduce all these things. She co-founded a group called the Global Renaissance Alliance with Neil Donald Walsh. Neil Donald Walsh channeled God, and God said in Conversations with God, Book 2, I think, that Hitler didn't inflict suffering, says God, quote-unquote God, he ended it. It's all being set up. I haven't heard any Jewish group express any concern about that. I mean, it goes on and on. In False Christ Coming, I've got a whole list of all the things. His God says, Hitler didn't go to hell because there is no hell. Hitler went to heaven. Ha, ha, ha. There's the unholy laughter. Matthew 10:28, response to the possibility of being killed. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. John 16:1-4, these things I have spoken unto you that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue, yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. Count the cost. Full counsel of God needs to be preached. We're seeing crusades and people coming to the Lord and coming into these big seeker-friendly churches. We're not hearing any of this stuff. I mean, you don't have to introduce all this to a new believer. And if there's new believers in this congregation, I think there is at least one that came to the Lord today. I'm really grateful for that. it's better that you hear this maybe a little bit concentrated than to not hear it at all. I'm not trying to scare you. Remember, the Lord said, I'm telling these things ahead of time so that when these things happen, you won't be offended. God magnifies His word above His name. And if God magnifies His word above His name, He's going to magnify His word above this false presence that's coming in through contemplative prayer. Psalm 138:2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. I'm going to just run through this really quick. We're coming to a close. I have actually made some copies of some of these with the scriptural references. I'll have them out on the table. If we run out, you can get them from the office. Rose or somebody will be able to get them for you. But so I'm not going to go through every scripture. But God's word, this is all scriptural. Everything here is coming from scripture. God's word is awesome. God's word is wonderful. God's word is our counselor. God's word is our delight. God's word is our song. God's word is good. God's word is right. God's word is tried. God's word is true. God's word is pure. God's word is holy, and His word will make you wise. God's word is inspired. His word is like fire. God's word is quick. God's word is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. God's word is the word of God. It's not new revelation. It's what was always there. God's word quickens. God's word cleanses. God's word is not bound. God's word will not return void. We are to tremble at God's word. We are to praise God's word. We are to rejoice in God's word. I think it's in Philippians. It says to rejoice, and then immediately right after that it says beware of dogs, beware of evil. It's like in your rejoicing, always remember, just be alert, be vigilant, because there's always trouble around the corner. It's there. Just be aware of it. You don't have to focus on it, concentrate on it, but be aware that it's there. We are to be comforted by God's word. We are to hope in God's word. We are to trust in God's word. We are to study God's word. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We get understanding from God's word. We are to meditate on God's word. We're not to do contemplative prayer, which is a bogus smokescreen for meditation. Why do they have to change it to contemplative prayer? What's wrong with just biblical meditation? Why don't we stay with the Bible? Why do we have the message? Why do we have all these new translations? To dilute the word of God, to take away the grit that's in the true word of God. We are to let the word of God dwell in us, abide in us. We are to keep God's word. 1 John 2:5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. But we are to continue in God's word. Doesn't matter if you had a great Bible teacher for years. If he's going off, get out of there. And always have your Bible by your side, and don't put your faith in men. John 8:31-32, then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you continue, it doesn't matter what you did in the past. You got to continue. He who endures to the end shall be saved. We're to stand fast in God's word. We're not to forget God's word. Psalm 119:16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I will not accept these new teachings, this new spirituality. We are to hide God's word in our heart. We are persecuted for the word of God. We may be slain for the word of God. We are to battle using God's word. What did Jesus do in the wilderness with the devil when he was challenged and tempted? He said, it is written. And then again, it is written. The devil goes, oh, he's using the word of God. So the devil comes back with a psalm. And that's what happens in all of these false teachings. They just put a whole bunch of scriptures in God Calling, the book that's called a New Age teaching, a channeled New Age teaching, in the Encyclopedia of New Age Beliefs, published by Harvest House back in the 90s and no longer found on Harvest House. By the way, if you all want to see something interesting, Google CBD, Christian Book Distributors, tonight, and put in A Course in Miracles. Guess what? They offer it. Christian Book Distributors, they offer it. And if you go on Amazon, you can get John Boy Walton reciting A Course in Miracles. Hey, John Boy Walton is about the most wholesome guy around. Maybe The Course in Miracles is actually right. No, it's just the devil using the slickest Oprah, John Boy Walton. Hey, what could be wrong with A Course in Miracles?
everything.
We are to resist temptation by using God's word. Qualities of last-day believers: not fainting, steadfast, not offended, loving, not shamed, not fearful, patient, laboring, running the race, fighting the good fight. Hey, how about fighting the good fight? Is that going on out there in the church? I don't even know if they know there's a fight going on. They're heading towards a party. Brian McLaren says, we're heading towards a party. Get ready for the party. Contending for the faith, keeping God's word, holding fast to sound words, hold fast to Jesus' name. Canst not bear them which are evil, hating evil, pressing on, valiant for the truth. Are you valiant for the truth? Jeremiah 9:3 said that there were those that were not valiant for the truth. We want to be valiant for the truth. Hold on to God's word. Be faithful unto death. Strengthen the things that remain. Be watchful. Endure to the end. Try them which say they are apostles and are not. Like Carol's presentation, we've got people calling themselves apostles. Who called them apostles? Themselves. Endure to the end. We said that. Try them which say they are apostles. Expect persecution. Expect hatred. Be charitable, rightly dividing the word of truth. Have on the full armor of God. God's word stands forever. Psalm 119, 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Isaiah 48, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall endure, shall stand forever. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Psalm 12, 6-7, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. A closing anecdote. My wife and I ran a little homeless program in a tough little town in Northern California called Oroville. It was a lot of drug addicts. I remember one night we were driving out of Oroville up onto the Oradam Highway or whatever it was. And there was a Shell station that loomed over the town. And we'd been dealing with drug addicts, people coming out of witchcraft, Satanism, poor people, prostitutes. And I looked down and I said, Joy, I said, the S is out on the Shell sign, looming over the town. So we saw some really interesting. One day a guy came in, he said, I want to tell you something. Because he sort of saw what we were doing there. He said, I was in prison. And he said that I noticed that all the guys that were joining the Bible study and getting born again, they all got out early. He says, I'm not stupid. He said, I got myself a Bible. I read it three times, joined a Bible study. I got out early. He said, you know, when I walked out of that prison, he says, I hung the Bible right on the gate and I walked away. He said, but there was a problem. And I said, what was that? He said, the word of God was in my heart. And he was a staunch believer. If you really believe the word of God, you won't have to do anything or try anything. You'll just know because the Holy Spirit will convict you. And you'll be able to make it through any of these things that we've talked about. So it was a bit overwhelming to bring all these things to your attention. But we talked about how the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5 said it's a shame that we have to talk about the things of darkness. I would much rather listen to the Gutierrez brothers and to the worship team at this church and Charlie. We'd all like to do that, and someday in heaven we will. But that's not our lot in this life. Fortunately, we can do these things, but we have to do them knowing that all these other things are taking place at the same time. So I just want to thank you for having us. I guess we're going to have some questions now. But God bless you guys, and thanks again for having this conference.